We are, oh yeah, we are connected. Okay. From Neotel, the delegation that we have, if I'm wrong, you'll correct me. It's led by, okay, it's Mr. Zimri. Okay, you can go ahead.
Good morning, Chairperson, committee members, and also captains of industry. Chair, as you can see, we are a very small delegation, and I think it's also in the view of trying to reduce the cost of communication. Chairperson, yeah, just some apology from our CEO, Sunil Josh. He's unfortunately he's traveling, and also my immediate boss, Dr. Tracy Cohen. She was on her way, and she had some emergencies that she had to attend to. And I was also expecting Dr. Angus A. to come do the presentation. But Chair, I will take you through the committee and the members through the presentation. Chair, with me is I've got Denzel Bowman, and I think he's quite well known in Parliament. Chair, basically, just in short, the agenda that I'll be taking you through is basically, I think ICASA covered it quite well, the background of the cost to communicate, and also from the department side. Then the impact on the current MTRs and the way forward on the cost-based model. We also touched a bit on that. Neotel's short-term strategies and future strategies on lowering the cost to communicate. And basically then a few challenges that we identified. And Chair, it appears that it's all doom and gloom, but it's not like that. I think we're well on our way to reduce the cost, and I think we're getting there. Chair, and I think just on the slide, what I just want to mention, we edited one or two slides, which I think our guys neglected to put the reduction of the cost for 2013 on one of the slides. But I'll take you through that anyway, Chair. Just the glide path prior to the High Court ruling. In fact, the termination rates basically supported greater competition and also assisted Neotel in many ways to reduce the cost and also to benefit the consumers. And I think the key for us, Chair, is basically to translate the reduction of these call termination rates to the consumer. And I think we've been a front runner for quite a while over the period from 2011 to 2012 on this. And also, Chair, we also gained some market share, which is very limited. It's still less than 10%. And we're still fighting there. I think the DUC mentioned it this morning, the big giants. So we're still fighting with them about just gaining some more market share. Chair, and the bigger portion of this discussion basically goes around the mobile termination rates. And I think I will also touch on the fixed line termination rates, which Talcum also alluded to earlier this morning. Chair, from just what the call termination rates prior to the court ruling allowed Neotel to do is we reduced the calls to mobiles up to 45% from Neotel to mobiles, and also from Neotel to Telkom we reduced up to 20% on the fixed line side. And Chair, also what this call termination rate also allowed us to do is to zero rate our on calls after hours. And I think you will see now a couple of operators now only introducing these zero rated fees this year or last year. We've been doing this for quite some time now, since 2011, 2012. And Chair, we also do not draw a distinction between prepaid and postpaid. Our rates are the same for both. And I think that's a benefit that we pass on to our customers and consumers. Moving on to the next slide. It's a typical slide that obviously has been, it looks like an economist type of slide. What I did add on to this particular slide, Chair, is this 2013 reduction of coal termination rates. And if you can see on that slide, Chair, on the top end, you will, the coal termination rates, our retail rates reduced from 154 to the current 85 cents on the retail side. In 2011, I think operators were talking about 99 cents, the mobile operators. We were already at 88 cents, Chair, and 92 cents. So we had a reduction of calls to mobile operators for quite a while now. What I will show you later on also is that our calls to Telkom on the fixed line side, it's possibly at the same cost, or if not lower, than an on-net call from Telkom to Telkom. So, Chair, that is, and it's quite clear that we pass this, we translate the reduction in call termination to our customers and consumers. Chair, just on the top end of that, which I was also a bit confused about this morning when somebody explained it to me properly. It's the 90% of coal termination rate reduction, what that figure translates to is we're taking the 62 cents reduction in Newtel's coal retail rate reduction, and that over the 69 cents of coal termination rate reduction, and that gives you the 90% of coal termination rate reduction that was passed on to the consumer. That is the 90% that we're talking about there. Chair, as I mentioned earlier on, in 2013 we were our coal termination or retail rate is on 85 cents for our customers to mobile operators. Chair, on the next slide, it's a rates for calls to mobiles. The slide up there is not very visible, but on my screen, Chair, it basically translates from the diagram basically into this table, and our calls to mobile operators currently is at 85 cents and for peak, and 79 cents for off peak. Chair, the next slide is basically the rates to fixed operators. Again, like I said, since 2011, for our retail rates for off-peak, we had a free for customers on it, and currently we're sitting for national calls, we're sitting at 40 cents for our customers, Chair. In terms of the impact on the MTRs, Chair, in terms of the last 6 months, the reason why Newtel did not introduce a reduction after 2013 or March 2013 is that there was a bit of uncertainty in terms of we were not sure what the outcome of the coal termination rate calculations from ICASA will be. That's why we were sort of in the middle, and the only time that we really had certainty about the rate was on the 1st of October. And we are busy looking at that, reducing our coal termination rates. So as we speak, our CEO in October announced the cutting of our data prices by 42%, and that is without any other force or any regulatory intervention, but we are already cutting our data rates by almost half. In the next slide, I will also show you how, in terms of the data speeds that we discontinued to a large extent. That's sort of a lower data rate that we think that our customers are not interested in anymore. Chair, again, I think ICASA did a stunning job of with this call termination calculations. I think they did well and was correct, Chair. And I think we support the asymmetry that's introduced at the moment on the fixed line side and also on the mobile side. Okay, just in terms of our short-term and future strategies for lowering the cost of Communicate, there are many issues there, Chair, but I think just to highlight a few, as I mentioned earlier on, we actually discontinued services on 2 meg, 2 megabits per second. So we allow customers that on those lower rates, we actually allow them to migrate to a higher rate at the same cost. And I think, Chair, this is something that we just introduced, and there's also data on demand where you can actually boost your data, and we introduced that also for quite a while. Well, it's been in test for a while, but we actually now really, really focus on that. So if you want some more data, you can actually on demand boost your data rate. So that's just been introduced by Newtel. Chair, just the one issue. The only limitation that we have on our sort of fixed mobile offering on the CDMA side, which is based on our 800 megahertz spectrum. Chair, and I think that this is possibly one of the limitations or technical limitations that Newtel has in terms of rolling out voice services and also data services to the remote rural areas. We are the only operator in the 800 megahertz band that's sharing with broadcasters. And again, just a statement that I've got up there, which is not in your presentation, is basically, if there's no broadcasting migration, there's no digital dividend, and then there's no SA Connect. It's just for us to achieve those data rates that actually count in SA Connect, or the speeds that's required in SA Connect. To achieve that, we will have to do the migration and actually have to achieve that dividend spectrum. And that needs to be done very soon, Chair. As you know, there are some discussions at the World Radio Conference at the SADC level. There's a ministerial meeting that will be happening in Malawi towards the end of this month that will discuss similar issues, Chair. And I think it's quite important that we need to be on top of these things. Chair, the next slide, just a few challenges. I think it was alluded to early on, access to properties. I think this is one of the key stumbling blocks for Newtel. And there are some sort of inconsistency that's been applied by municipalities, local councils, and also sort of private property owners. The bigger issue there for us is some municipalities also now starting to demand some guarantees, bank guarantees, and also the larger operators they sort of benefit what is happening also they go into exclusive deals with certain property owners, which allow the smaller operator, we basically prevent the smaller operators from getting to those properties. And most of the times, or many times, our customers are actually on those properties, but they want services from Newtel, but they cannot get in because of the landowner is restricting or they've got an exclusive arrangement with one of the bigger operators. That needs to change, and I think the regulator has got some work to do on this, Chair, especially around the rapid deployment regulations that's been mooted in the Telecommunications Amendment Act, and also that's also some work that's been done at the SABS around the standardization of these rollout documents and so on. Chair, again, one of the other issues that I don't think the other operators will mention it, but our application to person SMS regulatory framework, and we believe that is one of the things that's holding back. Also, has got an impact on the cost of communications. Some operators have got exclusive arrangements, and they can dictate the price around application to person type of applications. And this is normally referred to as bulk SMS, that type of application. So there's some exclusive arrangements that I believe that the regulator can fix, and it's not hard to do it. Chair, my last point on this slide, which is not on your slide, it's, and I think I mentioned it before on other platforms, is toll-free servers are not toll-free at the moment. It's toll-free on net. And I think this is something that this committee can really have an impact on. If at the moment our consumers, the public, they're actually paying for toll-free services. It's only when you dial from Newtel to Newtel, then it's toll-free. But if you've dialed from Newtel to Telkom or Newtel to Vodacom or MTN, the consumer actually pay for this call. And the regulation, the ICASA's regulation is very clear. Toll-free must be toll-free. It must be a toll-free service. You shouldn't pay for that call. And Chair, I think it's important that ICASA expedite the toll-free framework. There are some models. ICASA extended the deadline. The deadline was on the 2nd of October. ICASA extended the deadline to July 2015, which is will give operators some time, but I think we can actually shorten that time frame to ensure that our consumers benefit out of this. Chair, going forward, Chair, I think I touched on the issues in terms of the SMS, and I think what this committee can assist smaller operators to do is basically just to grow in this market and ensure that we survive basically to a large extent. Chair, now, again, the current call to mission regulations, which was introduced by ICASA, I think they're quite robust. I think they've done a good job, and I think that we should just go ahead with the implementation of this and look at the next phase. After post 2017, how do we deal with the call to mission rates after that? Thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Shall we move straight to Vodacom presentation? MTN will be the last one. Shall I allow Dr. Paranse to Prof to start?
Good morning, Honourable Chair, and to the Honourable Members of the Committee. Just as my colleague is setting up, my name is Andrew Barenza. I head up the regulatory function for Vodacom. I'd just like my colleagues just to introduce themselves and then I'll provide some opening comments.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Paul Makova, responsible for Parliamentary and Government Affairs.
Morning, Chair and Members of the Portfolio Committee. I'm Temba Ginana. I'm a Managing Executive for Government Relations, Vodacom. Thank you.
Morning, Chair and Members. Annie Jacobs, Executive Head, Regulatory Affairs.
Morning, Chair and Members. Zunaid Mohammed, Managing Executive of Commercial and Product Management.
So thank you very much. I guess like many of the presentations before us...
Shall we get the other mic off next to you? Yeah, thank you.
So like those that have presented before us, we too will highlight Vodacom's commitment to reduce the cost to communicate. Now, in the case of Vodacom, the cost to communicate program is a company-wide, quite an aggressive program that's called pricing transformation. So simply put, the program offers customers more value through simple products and pricing. So you would hear my colleagues speak to you about low-cost micro-bundles, low-cost time-based bundles, and bundles that integrate voice, messaging, and data. Now, in particular, they're going to address how this is applied in the contract market space and also in the prepaid market space. But I think it's important to note that it doesn't really come at the cost of what is quite important to the customer experience, and that is the issue of network quality. And so how do you build capacity that allows for this increased usage and at the same time allow prices to come down? So just to conclude my opening comments, the Vodacom story really is one of consistent investment in our networks to increase capacity so that you can offset those lower prices with some of the higher volumes. And this really will be the recurring theme and the story and the conclusion in the presentation that will be done by Vodacom. So if I can just ask Kenny to do the...
Thank you, Honourable Chair and members. In terms of the structure of our presentation, we propose to reflect back on the highlights that we've shared in November 2012, then to move on to what happened since then, to look at some of the South Africa achievements, to briefly look at the international rankings and the challenges that we face towards accessible, affordable and available services, briefly comment on comparisons and concluding thoughts. So in terms of the session in November 2012, some of the highlights that we shared with the committee included a significant reduction in voice and data rates. So at the time, we've reported a 44% decrease in the prepaid price per minute over the period 2008 to 2012. We've also reported on a 30% decrease in the overall effective rate. Then on data, we also reported on the significant growth in data based on the following metrics. We've reported data as a percentage of service revenue at 14% for the financial year 2012, a significant increase of 87%. Then if you look at the middle bars, that's internet users at 12,000 for the financial year 2012. That's also a significant increase. And then also a significant increase in the number of devices. Then moving on to what happened since then. And so since 2012, Vodacom further reduced the cost to communicate through its pricing transformation journey in terms of which we aim to offer our customers more value for their money through simplified product offerings. We've transformed our approach to pricing to demonstrate clear value to customers, and we will elaborate on that. In terms of the wide-reaching work that we've done on this pricing transformation so far, it enabled us to further reduce the effective price per minute for voice and data significantly. Our new price plans cater for the needs and economic circumstances of the different customer segments, and at the same time allows us to optimize our network. As such, these initiatives are an effective way to bring down the cost to communicate and make voice and data services available and accessible to all. As for our contract customers, we're transforming our contract base by moving them from the traditional single service voice to all-inclusive packages, which includes voice messaging and data. As part of offering a complete package, we also provide the latest and best phones, and we will elaborate on that. As for our prepaid customers, we've introduced a new free for sure prepaid range, which gives customers free differentiated offers, which are aimed at the different customer segments and needs, and we will also elaborate on that. As Andrew mentioned, it is important to understand that our pricing transformation isn't coming at the expense of network quality. As part of our aim to offer the best network, we continued and accelerated our build of capacity to support the strong traffic growth that we are experiencing as part of driving prices down. We've accelerated our CapEx investment program to expand the reach of our data services to where we have voice and to enhance our customers' network experience. We are now at 94% 3G population coverage, 2,000 LTE sites, and 76% of sites connected to Vodacom's own high transmission network, and I will elaborate on that later. We've also modernized our network to make it more efficient and effective. We have converted all our base stations to single RAN technology, which makes it 4G ready. In summary, Vodacom's investment is substantial. Last financial year, we've invested 7 billion into the network, and this year the estimate is 8.5 billion and growing. Added to the vision of providing best value and best network, we also aim to provide the best service to customers. And in that regard, we've improved and introduced more channels to help our customers, to better help our customers and to enable them to help themselves. So in summary, what we've done since 2012 is we further reduced prices and simplified our offers. We increased our CapEx spend in order to meet demand, and we've also increased investment to expand data to where we have voice. And we will elaborate on that.
Chair, from a prepaid perspective, we've actually focused on ensuring that customers have more value through simple, worry-free products. Customers now have the ability to choose segmented offers, and they can free change to which offers they prefer, each to suit their needs. In terms of bundles like the time-based bundles and Power Hour, these have actually been created for customers facing tough economic pressures. It allows customers with small change to actually have huge amounts of value based on that. We've also catered for their requirements by ranging from 10 minutes to the whole day, so we give them the flexibility to choose which one suits their needs. And the success of this can actually be measured by the number of bundles being sold. We currently sell over 40 million bundles a month. In terms of contract, like my colleague said, we focused on simplifying the offers. We took the legacy voice packages and we transformed them into integrated packages. These include substantially more value in terms of both voice, data, and SMS. And what we've done is in order to cater for the demand from a data perspective, we started bundling these with smartphones to ensure or drive data adoption. To give an update on the pricing perspective, I think the biggest measure of success for us in the first one can be looked at in two ways. The first is the decrease of over 25% in the effective rate, and the second is actually the increase of over 26% in terms of outgoing voice. From a contract perspective, we've actually started focusing on both new customers coming in by selling them the new tariffs, but we've also transforming the existing base, giving our existing customers the benefit of these integrated tariffs. So far, we've been able to move 63% of the base onto the new tariffs. I think data is the best and amazing success story for us. As part of our strategy to offer the best network, we've actually been able to convert almost 17 million data customers. Our approach to data is actually very simple. We focus on two core principles. The first one is capability. We want to get as many data-capable devices into the hands of our customers. In order to do this, we've actually tried to bring down the cost of devices to customers. From a retail perspective, we now have smartphones that sell for under 600 Rand. We also have tablet offers in the market that sell for under 1,000 Rand. The second one is actually affordability. In terms of affordability, we create tailor-made offerings that suit customers' needs, and by doing this, we've been able to decrease the effective rate of data by over 30%. Customer service is relatively simple. We listen to what the customers have said, and we base our customer strategy based on customer insights and feedback. In terms of doing that, we focused on providing customers with multiple channels in order to service their needs. Customers can choose from retail stores to the call centers to online, and we've also now built a Vodacom application. This application allows customers to download onto their phones. They can view their balances, they can purchase bundles, and they can load airtime. In terms of the retail focus, we're rolling out new stores. Our new stores contain tech zones. These allow us to cater for the demands of the new complicated devices coming out. Customers can go into these stores and leave with a perfect setup. In terms of online, customers are able to now chat online to consultants on the other end. They're also able to fully upgrade and service any of their requirements in the online space.
So, in summary, since 2012, we adopted a vision of best value, best network, and best service. In the preceding slides, we've attempted to explain and demonstrate our progress in this regard. As further evidence of the importance of this vision for Vodacom, it is useful to understand that we monitor our progress in this regard through a measure called Net Promoter Score. Net Promoter Score measures customers' happiness in terms of how likely they are to recommend Vodacom to their family, friends, colleagues. We've appointed an external company that's doing the necessary field work, and we monitor it on a monthly basis to take corrective action where required. To conclude, Net Promoter Score is a key measure of Vodacom's delivery on its vision. Then moving on to South Africa achievements, briefly on the left-hand side, South Africa is a vibrant mobile market that has seen rapid growth. As the department indicated earlier, penetration sitting at a level of 145%, which is exceptional. If you look on the right, the blue map, that's Vodacom's 2G network coverage. 2G is the network that is good for voice. It's sitting at 99.9% of the population. If you look at 3G, that's the network which is good for data. There we're sitting at 94%, which is significant and exceptional from a Vodacom perspective. Looking at our 4G network, there we have 2,000 LTE sites live as of today. Now, 4G is an even better experience compared to 3G for data. And then we also have 76% of all our radio sites connected to Vodacom's own high-capacity transmission network that will support an excellent data experience. So in summary, a truly remarkable picture in terms of penetration, investment, and technology advancement. Moving on to international ranking and challenges. So Vodacom's view is that international comparisons must be treated with caution, and we will elaborate on that. Notwithstanding the cautionary, in terms of the World Economic Forum report on network readiness, South Africa ranks favorable against the BRICS countries, that's Brazil, Russia, India, China. In terms of the table, Brazil slided, Russia improved, India slided, China slided, South Africa improved. Certain of the highlights, South Africa continued to show robust growth, our ranking improved, and we've overtaken countries like India, and we rank favorably with Brazil and China. So then, in terms of the challenges that we face, spectrum will be one of the more pressing challenges for Vodacom. Spectrum is the radio frequency bands and channels assigned for telecommunication services. Given limited spectrum allocations, there is a limit as to how much traffic a base station can carry. Once the limit is reached, a new site needs to be constructed, which is expensive and time-consuming. Additional spectrum will increase the traffic carrying capacity of a base station, which will assist in reducing costs. If we look at the graph, on the left-hand vertical axis, that's the amount of spectrum allocated per country. It's the blank bars, and you will observe that the blank bars taper from left to right. Then on the right-hand side, we have the IDI ranking, which is the ICT Development Index. It's the red bars, and you'll observe that it increases from left to right. And if we take, in terms of the message, there's a correlation between the amount of spectrum allocated per country and the country's international ranking. If we take an example, the Netherlands on the far left, it ranks very well from an IDI perspective, and it's also, in terms of spectrum available, it also ranks high. And then if we look at the far right, Mozambique, it compares less favorable from an IDI ranking perspective, and in terms of the amount of spectrum available, it's got a low amount of spectrum available to operators. So looking at the current situation in South Africa, the refarming of spectrum is not ideal. The availability of additional spectrum remains a pressing issue and challenge for Vodacom. With additional spectrum, we can increase our reach, speed, and quality of our network in order to support the national broadband goals and the cost to communicate program. Looking at the other challenges, it's really a cascading effect. We spoke about spectrum. Next up will be site acquisition. The issues there would be high rentals demanded by landlords, a cumbersome approval process. If we look at municipal-owned properties, to negotiate a lease can take anything between 12 and 18 months. We face objections from the public in areas close to their properties. This is mainly because of health concerns and devaluation in property value concerns. We also observe a lack of policy or alignment of policies between municipalities. Certain municipalities do not support small sites in the residential areas, that's flagpoles, chimneys, etc. And then there are also long lead times to obtain power to the sites. Moving on to the transmission network that's required to connect these sites, that's now the fiber network and microwave. The issues that we face there would include waylays. Waylays are required for trenching carried out outside of privately owned property. Extensive approvals are required. Routes need to be evaluated on a case-by-case basis, and we need to apply with the relevant authorities. Further fiber deployment challenges will include private property owner approval. In certain cases, we're faced with a one-trench policy where certain municipalities require all ECN providers to confirm the intention of use or sharing of civil infrastructure for a period of 5 years before approval is given. And then on microwave, also issues around obtaining approval from infrastructure owners. So in summary, Vodacom requires more spectrum to be more efficient and to extend the reach of its 3G and 4G networks that are great for data. This needs to be supported by rapid deployment of high-capacity fiber and microwave backhaul and further site deployment. Then just coming back to our cautionary on international comparisons, our view is that caution must be applied when considering it and preparing international comparisons. One should specifically consider if all relevant performance measures were incorporated, and what we try to illustrate on the slide, did we consider coverage, pricing, technology, investment, the type of users, subscriber penetration. And as we've mentioned in the preceding slides, Vodacom's view is that South Africa is performing well for all the reasons mentioned.
So just in conclusion, Honourable Chair and the Honourable Members, clearly all operators are committed to reduce the cost to communicate. Clearly, all operators are. The difference is how each operator goes about doing that. So the Vodacom story is huge investments, and this explains why Vodacom is really one of the single biggest investor in network infrastructure, because the belief is that increasing the networks allows to increase capacity. And once one has the capacity, it is now possible to offset lower prices with some of those higher traffic volumes that come through. So that's the Vodacom story. And we've demonstrated that 2 years ago when the committee held those hearings on cost to communicate, compared to now, what Vodacom has done in terms of reducing the cost of communication. And they've also, through something called the NPS, I hope we've demonstrated that from the vantage point of the customer, how they've expressed their levels of satisfaction in response to Vodacom's efforts in this regard. So there are clear challenges in terms of further reducing cost to communicate, and I guess the challenges that Vodacom has articulated may be no different to some of those addressed by some of the other operators. And I guess on that note, I think I'd like to thank the chair and the committees for the opportunity to present.
Thank you very much, Prof. Paranse. We'll now move swiftly to the next presentation, MTN. And that will be our last presentation. I understand the delegation is led by Ms. Phyllis Uyosbias, the CFO. Over to you, ma'am.
Good day, Chairperson, and thank you for inviting us today. My name is Phyllis Uyosbias, the CFO of MTN South Africa. I'll ask my colleague to my left to introduce himself.
Good day, Chair. My name is, and honourable members, my name is Graham de Vries. I am the General Manager for Regulatory Affairs.
Good day, Chair, honourable members. My name is Rosanna Gell. I'm Senior Manager at MTN Regulatory Affairs.
Good day, honourable Chair. My name is Hema Hargoven. I am the Senior Manager on Consumer Marketing.
Chair, thank you very much, and honourable members, for this opportunity. Cognizant of the time and realising that it is a Friday afternoon before lunch, we will be as brief and succinct as possible. Chair, the content of our presentation is basically the mobile sector. Where are we today? We are going to have a quick look at mobile pricing, what has changed. We're going to quickly traverse the issue of mobile transparency. We're going to look at the challenges and how government can assist, and then talk a little bit to the issue of strategies to improve South Africa's international ranking. So, Chair, where are we today? I think, Chair, one of the first things we need to state is that MTN does support the agenda to reduce the cost to communicate and achieve universal access and voice for voice and data. Our vision of delivering a bold new digital world is actually aligned with what we believe government's vision in the National Development Plan of making high-speed broadband internet universally available. So where are we today? Chair, as alluded to by the previous presentation as well, it is the SA's penetration is really driven by intense price competition between a variety of mobile operators in both mobile voice and the data markets. Our penetration rates have increased by 43% since 2010. Currently estimated at approximately 152%. So on a year-on-year basis, Chairperson, the market grew by approximately 7% as well. However, we do note and must state that the market is saturated and compounded by lower disposable incomes, which will have an impact on investments. Chair, also in terms of the investments that MTN has made in the last 7 years, MTN has invested in the network more than 30 billion rand as capex. Over the period of about 10 to 11 years, Chair, we have invested nearly 45 billion rand. But we do not only invest in the network, but we also have our corporate social investment initiatives. In that particular regard, Chair, and we have addressed the committee on a previous occasion in terms of our school connectivity program. We actually roll out computer laboratories to meet the challenges in schools. We also, through our health portfolio, we promote sustainable and healthy lifestyles and also look at initiatives targeting TB and lifestyle diseases as well as HIV and AIDS. Chair, in this particular respect, because of the rollout of network at the current time, our 2G network covers 99% of the population, And in terms of our 3G network, we are slightly more than 83% of the population is covered by our 3G network.
Chair, would like to take you through what has happened in terms of pricing at MTN. We are very pleased to share that MTN has been, in fact, reducing cost to communicate in the last 6 years. Voice tariffs have been declining steadily in the last 6 years. In fact, we've declined by 68%. 2014 saw the most significant drop that was driven by intense competition. MTN continues to offer highly innovative products and services to our customers. We strive to enable lower prices at the same time offering high quality network. In terms of what happened in 2014, which was the steepest fall in our pricing, this was in fact purely driven by competition, and MTN had to in fact launch new products and services and improve our value proposition to remain relevant and competitive in the market. In terms of what happened in data, the data story is a very good news story. We continue to deliver access to close to 64% of our market has got access to data. Data pricing has in fact decreased by 87% since 2009. MTN's vision of delivering a bold new digital world remains the core of our strategy. Data remains a key enabler of that vision. Lower rates and availability of smartphones and tablets has seen a significant growth in traffic on our network. Removal of barriers to entry by providing low-cost handsets like the Stepper phone is a key cornerstone of our strategy. MTN forecasts continued data growth that will require even more significant investment going forward. Chair, we've been debating whether the market in South Africa is competitive or not competitive. We would like, by showing this slide, just some extracts from most of the newspapers in South Africa, that in fact the mobile market remains very competitive. Concerns that remain that South African market prices remain high versus the rest of Africa are unfounded based on the aspects that are on the slides. Chair, we would like you to consider this slide. We believe that the slide actually highlights, number one, that the prices are falling and are continuing to fall, and that there is certainly a price war, and that price war has delivered price cheaper tariffs to the market. The other concern that remains is the issue of tariff transparency. We would like to confirm that MTN strives to regularly inform our customers as to what our tariffs entail through what we call our customer e-journey. That journey makes sure that our customer is educated on what our tariffs are about in our price plans. We do this by continually sending customer notifications to continue communicating what our tariffs are. And we believe that MTN, through this customer journey, our customers are clearly informed and are able to differentiate our value offerings. As much as the key discussions to get today has focused on pricing, Chair, we would like to highlight that our research actually shows that network coverage and network quality
is actually the most important to the customer, and it actually rates higher than price. Price is actually only the second most important driver for customers. Good coverage and good signal combined remained the key attributes in terms of how customers select networks. And in also, as it's a number one driver in terms of being the number one item in terms of driving dissatisfaction among customers. This information was obtained by actually conducting over 20,000 interviews and doing focus groups to enable MTN to be able to deliver better offerings to our customers.
Chair, but obviously there are still challenges that we need to address. And some of those challenges are up on the slide. We do face vandalism. Our base stations are broken into for the batteries, for the thought process that there might be copper in those particular base stations, but also for the solar panels that we have in the rural areas. So we do face multiple vandalism events on a monthly basis, which takes the base station down. It actually affects the coverage in that particular area, and as a result, customer obviously complains. It is unfortunately something that we have to deal with. We have to then take out the necessary equipment to bring that particular site up again. Chair, the other issue that we would like to bring to the attention of the committee is the fact that there is an absence of the rapid deployment guidelines. We do face quite a number of challenges, also alluded to by the previous presentation from Vodacom as well as from Telkom. We all face the same challenges in that local authority approvals take a very, very long time. We have incidences of local authority approvals taking more than 2 years. We also suffer from the issue of way leaves that are not granted in time. So, Chair, one of the things that we could look at as a country and as an industry is to actually fast-track planning and local authority approvals, and that is the existence or the issue of the absence of the rapid deployment guidelines will greatly help the industry in making sure that we continue rolling out the network as the data demands increase. If you look at, for instance, the MTN data traffic has increased by 117% from June 2013 to June 2014. That is a very large percentage in growth, and all of that percentage growth actually places a significant pressure on the network, which means that more and more base stations need to be rolled out. Chair, if I can leave you with one thought process today from a mobile perspective: frequency, frequency, frequency. The issue is that we do need frequency as these data demands are increasing as a result of the fact that more and more smartphones are on the network, more and more tablets are appearing on the network. It is only going to keep on growing. We do need frequency, ladies and gentlemen. We do unfortunately also have, or not unfortunately, we do have legacy handsets, and those legacy handsets need to be supported. So reforming of spectrum can only take you so far, and then you start actually affecting your legacy handsets and the quality of service for those particular customers. So reforming of your spectrum is not the only answer and the only thing that we should be doing. And then unfortunately, for all of us, power outages does play a large and significant role in terms of affecting the quality of service on the network. Chair, in terms of strategies to improve South Africa's international ranking, we just wanted to bring a little bit of a different perspective, and here we also have to agree with what our competitor Vodacom has put on the table in terms of peer country analysis. It's probably the more robust. And while what we've put on the slide presentation is not a scientifically proven methodology, if you look at our tariffs, the headline tariffs, as compared to some of the countries such as Botswana, Malawi, Cameroon, and also Madagascar, Chair, we are comparing very favorably. If you look at the 79 cents that rate that MTN has in the marketplace as well, it actually pushes us down or up to number three on the list from a headline tariff point of view. So we do actually look at our customers from calling preferences, on-net and off-net calling, plus their demographic demands and their lifestyle segmentation. There is a report out there, ladies and gentlemen, that suggests that from an affordability perspective, South Africa is actually doing very, very well. From an African perspective, we rank number 4. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's not all doom and gloom, but we do need to state that we need to have current research to show that where South Africa currently lies. We cannot rely on studies that may have been done in 2008 and 2009. A significant change in pricing and in tariffing and in value for consumers have happened since then. In terms of mobile termination rates, I do apologize, Chair, the slide on the board is slightly different to the one that you have in front of you. I have already been taken to task by my team because the dates in the slide that you have in front of you are incorrect. It is my mistake. So after having been beaten up by my team, Chair, I hope that you would give me a little bit of a buy on that one, as they say. The message here basically, Chair, is that the new interconnect regime is effective from the 1st of October 2014 after a very rigorous process from ICASA. We have implemented the mobile termination rates and in compliance with those regulations. And then, Chair, just in conclusion, we believe that the mobile market in South Africa is effectively competitive. There are mobile price wars which have been adequately covered in the newspapers, and prices are still decreasing rapidly. And that is as a result of competition and some intense competition from a variety of players for both voice and data. And talking about data, the next opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, is data, but it does require massive capital investment. Now, this can be done by private companies, and as we have shown, we are putting in quite a large number of capex into the network, but it can also be further pushed, ladies and gentlemen, by incentivizing investment and releasing spectrum. Again, Chair, the message today for the mobile operators, spectrum, spectrum, spectrum. We do perform well in terms of relative pricing, in terms of against our peer countries and African counterparts, and we do understand and support the call for transparency in this highly competitive marketplace. Thank you very much, Chair, for your attention.
Thank you very much for the presentations. We are going to engage with those presentations, honourable members. I think let me start when you make, we'll take both comments and questions. I don't want to separate them, but just in that essence, reflect when you are talking to a particular presentation. If it's a general one, specify this is what you are raising across the board. But if it's to a specific presentation, just highlight so that the colleagues who were presenting can note those comments and be able to respond back. Can I note hands? I've got Honorable Ndonyeni, Honorable Shin, Honorable Mafolo, Honorable McKenzie, and Honorable Tsotezi will be the last.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. I don't know whether it's morning or afternoon. Thank you for your presentation. Thank you for the information you share us. But I have some few questions I want to know. The first one is for ICASA. Does ICASA have the relevant skills to champion government policies in relation to cost to communicate? The other one is for General. Your presentation was focused more on call terminations at a high level. It does not talk to the oversight intention to make calls affordable to the public. Can we get an indication as to how lower call termination rate will impact ordinary citizens, especially in rural communities? This one is for Cell C. The presentation by Cell C was interesting. Can you inform the members as to whether the merger between Neotel, Vodacom, and Telkom and MTN is not contradicting government liberalization policy to encourage competition? This one is for MTN and Vodacom. MTN and Vodacom is talking about the price decrease, but what about the contracts? Because the contracts are higher level, are so high, their prices. And then this one is for all you guys. Can you explain the commitment to connect in rural areas and show quality as when a call cuts while a person is talking and it costs more? Sorry, Chairperson, this is the last one. How far is the impact of the skill audit to respond to this important program of the government? How do you intend to model impact of your call termination rates?
Thank you, Chairperson.
Shin, welcome.
Thank you, Chairperson. My questions are directed to whoever wants to answer them. But my impression from the presentations today is the greatest impediment to reducing the costs of communication is government. The delays in the digital migration, broadcasting migration strategy that's holding up spectrum, it's, you know, we all need the white spaces to get out there, and that has been delayed, you know, on and on and on and on, and we still have no clarity on the policy, and that at the moment clearly lies within in the cabinet. Also, I'm wanting to know, we also have the Wayleaves issue and the bureaucracy that is introduced at local and provincial, well, basically local government level, which of course is a major impediment. And I'm wondering if anybody here has read the recent Supreme Court of Appeal judgment on the case between Dark Fibre Africa and the Imsunduzi municipality, where the, as my understanding of the judgment is, that basically no one needs to apply for Wayleaves. You can do what you like. Now, wanting some comment on that from the, obviously from the lawyers here, who have a better understanding of that than I do. I would appreciate some input on that. What we had, Telkom was great, because Telkom actually gave me some stuff to work with here. We have very little awareness of the your input costs. Would you benefit from reduction in import tariffs on your equipment, what it costs for you to build your network? And we all, I think, know, if we don't know the figures, the negative impact that not having a decent infrastructure has on our economy. That if there was some payoff, we could say that, you know, if we actually can import our stuff cheaper, we can roll out the networks faster and the economy booms. I know that's quite a simple statement, but I think that we need to have a look at that. Also, the costs, again, I now go back to government on the costs of land. You folks are using land along the road reserves. Toll roads are making a lot of money, from what I understand, out of the network companies. What they're not making out of the motorists, they're going to get you. If they don't get you in your petrol tank, they're going to get you in your call fees. So that's SANRAL. Also, what negotiations are underway to perhaps get a good rate for using the road reserves and the rail reserves. What else? So basically, yeah, also your social obligations. Now, we all know that you contribute to the Universal Service Access Fund. And the costs of that are going to increase because we've got now the regulations on the set-top boxes has gone out, which you guys will be paying for. And also we had previously, a month or two ago, the e-schools connectivity program, which is also, you know, the network providers are also going to be hit to fund that. What other obligations, tax obligations are put onto you, whether they're real taxes or soft taxes, that we can perhaps negotiate around to get a decent cost to communicate? Thank you.
Mafulo. Thank you, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation made to us. Mine is on the department. In your presentation, you admitted that there is no fair competition. What do you do to make sure that we have a
fair competition. And the other thing is on transparency in pricing. Can we get this thing of if a price was 2 rand per minute, now is 30 cents per minute? Let's get those things, because some of us, we are not good in math. If you talk about percent, now you are throwing us far away. Let's know if the real cost, how much is it? And then, ICASA, as a regulator, how are you ensuring that mobile operators are cooperating so as to reduce the cost to communicate? And then let me also welcome your presentation on the court case and the deadline that you have met. And then slide number 11, base tariff comparison, is it for prepaid or contract? If it's only for prepaid, what about the contract? I won't shy away to say that the ANC have made a strong call for a digital inclusion. How do we ensure that connectivity is affordable to all, not for certain people who can afford? What about disadvantaged people and poor people? It's for all. And then, what is our strategy for capacity building in the use of network as to access services? Information society creation, government institution, and so forth. We all acknowledge that the future is internet. How can we assist our post offices? Because when you go to FNB, you'll find that there is an internet banking, there is one. How do we help post offices so that all citizens are equal and receive same services? Can you assist on that? And then, Chairperson, I was a little bit worried when I saw the presentation of different Celsi or all men. And what you see is what you get. That means what you see on the above, one will be a little bit worried. Are there women representation in your office? No, Chairperson of the board is intimidating me. So women within the continent are running their cooperative and small business form through mobile phone. How can we work with you so that many disadvantaged women are capacitated to use mobiles for economic inclusion? It's for all of you. Now, Chairperson, I want to challenge them that can I organize women in my constituency office? You come and capacitate them on those services. Thank you.
Woman McKenzie.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to all the presenters. It was a lot of information to absorb, but I'm trying. In terms of fibre rollout, Mr. DeSantis, you alluded to a new company that would actually be in charge of or have an oversight role of seeing what is in the ground so those services are not duplicated. I think that's a very good idea, and we would strongly support that, and if you can elaborate on any kind of model that you have in mind. I'd like to know if there's any if an audit has been done of the existing infrastructure in the ground, and I'll include state-owned entities in that, as well as municipalities that have, Johannesburg's done it, Cape Town's done it, that have put infrastructure into the ground. As well as Broadband Infraco, of course, the state-owned entity that's busy laying out fibre. Because as far as I understand it, and I'm sorry I didn't bring it with me, those pipes, the capacity in just one of those pipes can carry everybody's traffic. So if you could elaborate on that. What's come through quite strongly here, and also in the CLC presentation, was a regulatory failure on the part of ICASA. And also in terms of providing certainty to the market, and the market thrives in an environment that is certain. If we look at Cell C's slide on page 8, the broadband value chain, local loop unbundling, the ICT indicators, there's no clarity around all of that, the roadmap, transparency. So I would ask ICASA what, if you could perhaps look at those deadlines, look at the CELSI slide, and give us some idea of when you're going to meet these deadlines, because clearly the whole industry rides on what you do. I'm a big supporter of competition in the market, so the comments that two other smaller players were about to be swallowed up through mergers and acquisitions is a little bit worrying. But on the other hand, I would hate to see the bigger players like Vodacom and MTN penalized for excellence. Their marketing has been outstanding. Their investment, we've had a figure from MTN of 30 billion. I would like to know from the other players what your investment is in infrastructure in the ground, and what sort of return your shareholders are expecting. We do operate in a globalized marketplace, and regulation needs to be very careful that it attracts investment into our telecommunications sector and doesn't scare it away to other countries, because I can certainly see in terms of the bigger players that your operations are doing very well in other African countries, for example. And I know MTN are in Iran, which generates a significant amount of revenue. So, and perhaps ICASA could comment on this as well, how we could create a regulatory environment that would attract capital into this country and into investing in infrastructure. Lastly, in terms of the department itself and your presentation, the historical context slide on page 6, we're assessed against Brazil, Chile, Korea, India, and Malaysia. Perhaps when we do those assessments of our telecommunications environment, we could look more closely at Nigeria and Egypt, for example. So let's focus more on the continent, apples for apples. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I do agree with Member McKinsey that too much information to absorb. I'll start with the CASA on public hearings that we had with the Department of Communications in 2012-2013. You say the intention was to reduce termination price to 20 cents by the end of 2016. Now, the question is, by that 2016, how many SMMEs would have collapsed by then? And why such a long time? And also echoing the same sentiments that the chairperson started with in her opening input, I have a paragraph here in the same document of the public hearings that say the divide between those who are part of the global information society and those who are not is likely to deepen as the latter are left behind and face little progress. For me, by implication, it means all efforts put in place by government to narrow the gap of inequalities is somehow a futile exercise. I mean, the cost of business in this area of communication is really hitting hard on the poor. And in all comparative studies, they indicate South Africa is the most expensive. And you continue to say we have reduced the prices here and there. I think almost all the presentations are talking to having reduced the cost of doing business, but it doesn't look like when we check this research document. And again, on ICASA, we say stimulate public debate around the cost to communicate in South Africa. But consumers, complain all the time, so we're not sure as to what method are using to reach out to them and for them to understand what do you mean by saying the prices have gone down? Because for them, they don't feel that. Like the member has said, that we talk about percentages and this and that, but we need concrete evidence, because we deal with the masses who are just down there, you know, in terms of understanding the issues that are here. So we want something concrete so we can simplify to them as to progress that we are making, as we say in our presentations. And also, say, so stimulate enhanced competition in the telecommunication sector. How do you do that when, I mean, there's so much emphasis on unfair competition? Is there any other conditions that you put in place to service providers before you give them licenses to make sure that, consumers are protected? Are there conditions that you put to make sure that you protect the consumers? Because you are the ones who are providing licenses. And the other one is general. Is there any role that you think the Competition Commission can play
or intervene in as far as this unfair competition is concerned. And for Vodacom, there's a point here about the high rentals. Who choose the offices for you? Do you make some comparative before choosing the offices, or just go for the highest one in order to market yourself? Because the offices occupy say a lot about yourself in terms of status. How do you choose the offices? And the cumbersome approval in the process, cumbersome approval process, can you deliberate just to share with us how, I mean, the actual process towards approval for us to understand how cumbersome this process is and see if maybe together we can reach a conclusion and intervene to try, you know, and save the consumers. And as we deliberate, if we can bear in mind, all of us, that the ultimate person who pays the price is a poor consumer. We can say whatever we're saying, but the ultimate person who's going to incur all the costs are the poor communities. I'll end there for now.
Honourable Mackenzie.
Thank you, Chair. I know I'm abusing the second bite, but just quick, there's one very important question I forgot to ask. Besides termination rates, what can government do to assist the smaller players in the market to enable them to flourish and to grow and provide more competition? Thank you.
Thank you very much.